Tape recorded message number TL444, 444. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Our study begins with verse 15, where we have a most vivid description of the curses that would come upon Israel if they failed to hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, their God, their Elohim. It is a terrible portion to read. I'm not going to give many comments on it, but I am going to read it and remember that this is the word of the Lord. It is not mine to question it. It is just simply mine to believe it. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, after having recorded all of the wonderful blessings that would come upon them if they did hearken to the word of the Lord, he says, "It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Notice that these are the commandments of the Lord thy God. They are his statutes, but they are being commanded by Moses. And no use to say that these came from Moses. They came right from the Lord through Moses, and they're just as much the word of God as any portion of the Bible is the inspired word of God. So if they fail not to do these things, then he says in the end of verse 15 that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, in all of their transactions, both as to their business and as to their agriculture, there would be the disfavor of God upon it. Cursed shall be thy basket, what a man would gather and bring in the basket, and that which he would store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. As I said before, this is a figure of speech used to set forth all of the ordinary activities of a man, coming in, going out, doing this and doing that, as we would say it, yet these are to be cursed. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand for to do, until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, wherewith thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Now, this was not to be in each generation that followed them. This was to happen to these very people if they failed to observe God's commandments and statutes which were given them to keep. In verse 23, he says that the heaven that is over thy head shall be as brass. Now, the use here, the word heaven, which we would call the expanse where you'd find the clouds, and this shall be just as brass. The earth that is under thee shall be iron. Characteristic of earth, when it has no rain for a long time, becomes very hard, could not be plowed, and could not be sown. He says, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust, from heaven shall it come down upon thee, until thou be destroyed. It would blow, of course, from another place, but it would come down upon them until they should be destroyed. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them. Very graphic description of their failure when they went out to battle. While they would march out very bravely in solid ranks one way, but once the battle was joined, they would flee in seven ways before their enemies, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, to all forms of governments that were upon the earth at that time, they should be removed. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air. In the east, disgrace that was greater than death was not to be buried. But these would fall and not be buried. Thy carcass shall be food unto all fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. To fray is to drive, and no man shall drive these birds away. Verse 27, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart, the mental things that would happen to him. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given into thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Now thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might, that is, no strength or power in thy hand, that is, to rescue these sons and daughters who are in captivity. Verse 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The very sights that you see would turn you to insanity. Verse 35, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot to the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone, and thou shalt become an astonishment and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out in the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit that have the trees. The trees would be there, but they would cast their unripe fruit, and they would not enjoy the oil for any of the uses that they might put it to. Verse 41, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. The very promise that was made to them as to what they should be, the head of the nations, not the tail, that they'd be the lenders and not the bars, that would be reversed in this curse that would be laid upon him. Then in verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. They shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. That is, ever flowing. They would be this way in perpetuity. That is, until God saw fit to release them from it. In verse 47, just because you served not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Since you did not serve him with joyfulness, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. You'll serve them in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. You see here that a tongue is most certainly a language, and where he said, whose tongue thou shalt not understand, this is a language. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, the cattle, or flocks of thy sheep, until he has destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein you trust. You put your trust in these throughout all thy land. He shall besiege thee in all of thy gates, that's every city, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, become even cannibalistic, and in their great hunger and madness, the very insanity that came such a thing, eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eye will be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children which he shall live, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege, in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee within thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter. And this very thing would destroy, as you see, all family life. 57. And toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And all of this now would be if thou wilt not observe to do all these words. Not one of these things ever need to touch them. And there is not a thing that he's asked them to do which they cannot do, if they want to do it. And not one of these terrible things that has been so vividly portrayed here in the verses that we read, not one of these things need to come upon them, but if they will not observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, and I believe there the reference would be to the book of Deuteronomy, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name. Notice it is the glorious and fearful name which is Yahweh thine Elohim. That's the glorious and fearful name of God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, of sore sicknesses and long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness, and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee, and thou shalt be destroyed. Ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as before as the stars of heaven for multitude. Notice here that this picture stars of the heaven for multitude, they were that, and that this phrase has to do with the population, with the number of people, but not with any kind of a people. And all of this because they would not obey the voice of the Lord their God. Now, what if they continued in this? What would happen? Well, he says in verse 63, "It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. Ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people." This is the worldwide dispersion that did take place when the when Babylonia finally subjected Judah and took Judah into captivity. Northern Israel has already gone into captivity to Syria, but Babylon has taken over Syria. Now every one of them, the whole 12 tribes, will be in the Babylonian captivity. So it says, "The Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord thy God shall give thee a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind." The word there is soul, because the soul is always connected with the emotions, and sorrow is one of the very strong emotions that come upon all of us. And so it really here says sorrow of soul. "And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night, have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. At evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there shall ye be sold unto your enemies, and bondmen, for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man will buy you, not even worth the price that men might pay for them." Now this terrible picture is one that was come upon them if they did not hearken. And we can say that in the things that Israel experienced, as are recorded in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and the Chronicles and so on, as we read of all of these things, we know that some of these things were laid upon all of the people, but not all of these things were laid upon all of the people. Kind of reminds you of the statement that someone made, that while it says all alike have sinned, but all have not sinned alike. So all alike experienced some of these things, but all alike did not experience all of these things. And if God did see fit to temper this with mercy, as we certainly know that he did, oftentimes when God spoke of something that when it took place would mean the utter destruction of the Hebrew people, that when this happened that somehow or other God had tempered it with mercy and they were not destroyed. Now, that's just a fact of Scripture. Dr. Girdlestone calls that the grammar of prophecy, and just the way that prophecy is revealed and set forth. While the picture is indeed a terrible one, and even some of these things, I'm sure, could the outcome of such could be seen among some Israelites, even in recent years, like what they call the Holocaust that came upon them in Germany, And I'm sure at that time that their lives did hang in doubt, and they had to fear by night and day all there during World War II, and they had no assurance of thy life, as verse 66 tells us. And I'm sure that whether they spoke these words or not, that in the morning many would say, "Would God that it were even." Even they would say, "Would God it were morning," because of the fear of thy heart, for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. Now, I'm not saying that these things were fulfilled in Germany, but I will say that all through the history of Israel, since God withdrew his protecting hand from them, they have suffered these things. Now, just a word about these passages, let's say beginning there about 50 and just looking at them as a unit. Beginning with 52, or rather say 50, you get a detailed description of the activities of these invaders. These invaders, he said, would respect neither young nor old, that they would devour the cattle and the crops, just leaving nothing behind for Israel's sustenance. And then a vivid description of the horrors of the siege is given, beginning with verse 52. Now, sieges were known at various times in Israel's history, and similar horrors to these might well have been perpetrated, so that these verses do not necessarily come from the days following the fall of Jerusalem. We don't need to come way up to the AD 70 and look after that for the fulfillment of these verses, or even to look for the fulfillment of them in that time. These things came upon them clear back in the days that is recorded in 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings, and especially recorded in the prophecies of Jeremiah, which you and I trust have already studied together. And then in verse 51, you get a very strange contrast set forth between the natural appetites of the invaders, then the unnatural lust of the Israelites under the siege, who eat their own children, and in whom every vestige of mercy and tenderness seems to have been cast aside. Really, the actual picture that is set forth here is blood-curdling in the extreme. I don't believe, any more degrading picture in the Bible than that of a mother who, even during a siege, in her desperation, ate her own children, and became so selfish in this that she would deny even her husband a part of it. Now, that is the terrible picture. Then when we get up here to verse 58, 56 about there, the idea is that since Israel had broken the covenant, failed to remember the word that the Lord had spoken to them, then that their God Yahweh, he will abolish all the benefits about which she had boasted. She will no longer be preserved from the ills that befell her neighbors. She will diminish in numbers. She will no longer serve Yahweh, but serve idols. She'll be torn from her own country and lose all security. And finally, she will find herself as a slave in Egypt. Her history will thus be quite annulled, and such will be the end of Israel if she fails to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book. That's what is declared there in verse 58. If you fail to observe all the words written in this book to the end that they might fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. So it'll be Yah himself who will initiate these curses. And all he has to do is start them. And once he starts these, They will just flow on, really, and take care of themselves. He'll not have to do another thing. All he'll have to do is just to withdraw those benefits of his that have preserved them from all of these evils and ills which they saw. Actually, in Egypt, they saw these things fall upon the Egyptians, but they were not bothered by them. And he will cause that Israel would be delivered back to Egypt in ships. It appears that these ships might have been the Phoenicians, who were always engaged in slave traffic. But even in Egypt, he said, no man would buy such slaves. And this portion gives us the most vivid climax to a sustained picture of unspeakable suffering. Well, that brings us to the end of the 28th chapter, very difficult chapter to deal with, and it'll be nice to pass on here now and to see some of the things. But this is the Word of God, and we are going to face up to everything written in the Word and give due heed to it that we might keep it. Chapter 29, these are the words of the covenant. Covenant is an agreement. When it's between nations, it's usually called a covenant. If it has to do with business, it'll be called a contract. If it has to do with other things, it might be called by various names. But don't get the idea of something religious in the word covenant. Israel was a nation. And this is to be beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now, this is commonly called the Palestinian covenant, because this is the covenant under which they are going into the land. Verse 2, Moses called unto all Israel. Now, he would call them in their representatives, because he already has a kahal, Q-A-H-A-L, or, as the Greeks would say, an ekklesia, a company of outpositioned ones, and if he speaks to the rulers over thousands, he will be speaking to all Israel. If he speaks to the adds to this and speaks to, in addition to the rulers over hundreds, he'll be speaking to all Israel. But this is the way he did it. He called unto all Israel and said, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, even unto Pharaoh, and unto all of Pharaoh's servants, and unto all his land. The great temptations which thou hast seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and the eyes to see, and the ears to hear unto this day. He wasn't going to force anything upon them. But it says, he hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes never grew old upon you. Just think of that, 40 years. And your shoe did not wax old. To wax, you know, is to increase. And you know how it is when shoes increase in age. My experience with shoes that increase in age is just finally they begin to crack and split, until they can be worn no longer. I can wear shoes a long time, but in due time, due to the dampness, the perspiration, the feet, and so on. But here were people walking through places where there was just no pathway, but their shoes did not wax old upon their feet. You've not eaten bread. They ate manna. Neither you've drunk wine nor strong drink. And the reason for this is they had just water from the rock, and that took care of them for 40 years. was that you might know that I am Jehovah your God. Their experiences were to bring them into a knowledge of Jehovah your God. Now, as much as we would like to, today we cannot learn of God from our experiences. Although we do have people today who are just practicing what they call experiential religion, and everything is based upon their experience, and they say, "You cannot deny my experience." Well, we maybe not be able to doubt your experience, but we can doubt your interpretation of it and your explanations for it. When I hear a football player make the claim that he looked to the Lord and then he threw the forward pass and the Lord made that to go straight into the hands of his receiver, well, I don't doubt but what he threw the forward pass right in the hands of a receiver. I've seen it on television many, many times where somebody makes almost a miraculous throw, practically the entire length of the field, and goes right into the hands of the man he intended to receive it. But I never would believe that his interpretation that the Lord directed or gave him peculiar strength or something like that. But these dealings of God with Israel, in which he gave them manna all the time they were in the wilderness, and their clothes didn't get old, their shoes didn't wear out, this was so that you might know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, your God. Yahweh, your Elohim. So when you came unto this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land, and gave it for inheritance unto the Reubenites, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. 2.5 tribes took that land in the very place where they are now, just before they crossed the River Jordan, and they took this as their portion. So he says, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God." That's where you're standing. "Your captains of your tribe, your elders and your officers with all the men of Israel. There they are, standing there before the Lord in due order. Moses stands in one place. After him, of course, would be the captains of the tribes, and so on, all of their officers in their due order. And they were standing there, and he says, "You're standing here before the Lord. Ye all the men of Israel." Verse 11, "Your little ones, your wives, the stranger," that could mean a wanderer, a foreigner, is in your camp, "from the hewer of your wood and the drawer of your water." This was the real hard work in Israel, but there were laborers, oftentimes wanderers, who came in that would take this work. They were glad to have it. And so they were all standing here, even those that cut the wood and drew the water. "And you're all here that you should enter into covenant," that is agreement, "with Jehovah your God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, so that he may establish thee this day for a people unto himself, that he may establish you this day for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, that he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath," it's not with you alone, "but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And we have seen their abominations, and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them." We've seen all of this. Now that was a parenthetical portion. And he says, "Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, this will never happen to me, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. You see, a man might thirst, take a drink of wine, and go on add drunkenness to that thirst. He just can't stop. He's got to have more and more. Well, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and the jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now this would happen to this man, not to his descendants, but to this man, blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. And we notice those awful curses in the chapter which we just read. So that the generation to come of your children shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, the whole land thereof is brimstone. Brimstone's an old English word that means sulfur. Brimstone, in fact, is sulfur. It was commonly called the burning stone, I'm found out at one time, because sulfur is a stone that will burn. You know, the old remedy that was used in this country in the early days, sulfur and molasses, supposed to be a spring tonic. In England, that's called treacle and brimstone. Treacle is molasses, and brimstone is sulfur. So just remember, when you read about fire and brimstone, it's really the burning stone and salt. And burning that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth this heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, the agreement that he made with them. Very simple agreement. You hearken to my word, you'll be blessed. You depart from my word and these statutes and these commandments, and you will be cursed. So they forsook this agreement of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. The anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, and to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted out of them out of their land in anger. See, the Lord gave them the land, and he took it away, and it cannot be theirs until he gives it back to them. Some people say that it's theirs now. It is not theirs. It is not theirs until the Lord gives it back to them. And I know that these people sing out that very dramatic song about, this is my land, God gave this land to me, and therefore they would go out to take it by warfare and every other way that they could get it. But that's not thinking right. Israel must wait, and Israel must watch until the day comes that God assumes sovereignty over this world, and then Israel will be regathered by God. Then Israel will be redeemed and become a redeemed people, and then Israel will be restored. And that's the way it will be in that day. So in verse 28, once again, the Lord did root them out of their land in anger and in wrath and great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. Now, anyone would have trouble understanding this and want further explanations and so on, well, you have this that you've got to accept. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children ever flowing. They belong to us in perpetuity, that we may do all the words of this law. Now really, these, what we've seen here in this chapter, are simply the introductory words to what is called the Palestinian Covenant. Then when we get to chapter 30, we will find that the details of the Palestinian Covenant are declared. We've just had the introduction to it, the introductory words, and we'll have the declaration of it in chapter 30. And then, of course, when we come to 31, we will get the very last counsel to the priests and the Levites and to Joshua. For Moses is not going to go into the land, but he's going to instruct these people. Then we will have that beautiful and wonderful song of Moses in chapter 32. And the blessings of Moses upon all the tribes. And finally, the death of Moses after he had seen the land. And that's what awaits us yet as we go on in the book of Deuteronomy. But I'll need to close at that point, and we will take up the study in the of the 30th chapter in our next lesson. It is always a joy to teach you. And you know, no matter how much I look at these things, and no matter how much I consider them, and oh yes, I read what others have to say about them, and if I find anything that appeals to me as being the truth of God, I will pass it on. Don't always have the opportunity of giving the proper credit, but I take everything I can that would be worthwhile where men show that they have also sought for truth and studied it out. But you know, I never teach these things, put them on tape, but what I don't find something that is new, something in advance, and I always keep saying to myself, well, if I have gone wrong anywhere, if I have misunderstood, if I hit a derail in my thinking, Lord, you show it to me and to all the rest, and we'll make correction, we'll make changes, and we'll take all the flack that comes from doing such a thing. And so that completes the study for today. It has been my joy to teach you. Till we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.